A female cyclo, who said her name was Chirk, had been found in a breathe mask under the bed in Turl's old quarters. So Robert the Fox went to her, where she was being held under the spotlights of an otherwise wrecked mine car, and asked her whether she was Turl's secretary, and she readily said yes, she was. So Robert said he had a message from Turl for her to get the preset keys of the drone. Chirk had had lots of time to think since Zit sailed off on the drone for reasons of his own, and she had finally remembered about the keys. She got very cross and sent back the message that Turl must think she was very inefficient. He knew very well that he had given her a set of keys and told her to drop them in the recycling trash bin. And that had been ages ago, and the keys were long gone. And if Turl was trying to blacken her company record by saying she disobeyed orders, she could do a little blackening on her own. There was something about promising her a huge home on Cyclo. She was very cross. So Robert the Fox called for Turl's boots and examined them and found a false sole. He removed from it a very thin, small blast gun. Right now, Turl was chained up with four separate chain strands in a well-lighted field with an assault rifle on him. He kept snarling something about females. The compound was a litter-strewn bedlam of lights and noise. There were hundreds of cyclo bodies lying around in everybody's way. Everything was soaking wet. The Chamco brothers had gladly contracted for 15,000 credits a year with a 500-credit bonus for each major job. They were a little apprehensive about a counterattack from Cyclo, but pay was pay. They were laboring with the team of Scots to get radios back into operation, but it didn't look like they would earn 500 credits right away. Water had saturated a lot of equipment, and the transshipment area was a write-off. Nobody could get a plane out into the open where its radio could broadcast, and Glen Cannon's ship radio was just fused metal. Robert the Fox walked up and down, his old cape flowing. He answered where he had to and gave orders where needed, but his mind wasn't on it. The 12-hour radio silence was up, and he was out of communication on the planetary band. He could not order the ships that had attacked the remote mine sites to go look for the drone. He had no ships to send. He went over to where about 20 wounded Scots were laid out in a field, being handled by the parson and schoolmaster and four old women. And Chrissy. His eyes and Chrissy's eyes met. Robert the Fox felt very bad. Johnny had been right. It would not have done to wait for mine site-bound ships to attack the drone. They had left long before it fired, and they knew nothing of it. And he could not even tell them. He had a feeling Johnny was in trouble. Robert the Fox gave his head a slight shake. Chrissy looked at him steadily for a moment, swallowed hard, and then went back to work.